from the Triple M studios.
God, it's all happening.
This is the Marty Shear Gold Show. Triple M.
28-year-old Danielle Russell spent years suffering through inexplicable symptoms before doctors could finally put a name on her condition.
Inexplicable?
Inexplicable.
Inexplicable?
It's a stupid word, isn't it, Marty?
Even as I was saying it, I was like, I don't reckon it is inexplicable.
Yeah, there you go.
Inexplicable.
What did the doctor send you home with? Doctors make mistakes all the time.
Well, we've
moved in this area before.
We have. What will we do without doctors, though?
Well,
we need them.
In the old days, if you broke your leg, someone would spit, rub their hands together, rub your leg and wrap a stick around it. Fixed.
And you die.
Yeah, you die 2 weeks later. Yeah.
Did
you? Dive in.
You died if you're weak, and you'll always die if you're weak. That's called natural selection.
Hang on, what are we doing here?
Well, I'm getting there, mate. Okay. Give me a minute. I'm stretching the leg.
I can tell.
Finding out where it is.
Finding the line.
Looking for the zone.
She had sinus issues her whole life. This is poor Danielle.
Yeah.
Not even getting her tonsils out or a nose surgery at 18 quelled the daily headaches or constant strain on her immune system. This is doctors for you.
Yeah.
Warning signs began to ring in Danielle's head.
What was that?
That was the
warning sign.
When her jaw started to ache and she suddenly lost her sense of taste and smell for a few days.
What on earth?
Remember when I lost my sense of taste recently with my head cold?
We were worried. You had a bit of COVID.
I just thought I had a sinus issue. I didn't know what I had. It only got worse when the stay-at-home mum.
Well, that's just
okay. Her choice. Noticed a painful lump on her hip. Here we go. Here's the dreaded lump.
Beside myself.
Yeah. My GP had no idea what it was, and she sent me to get a scan. She said it could be a muscle tear, a cyst, or something else entirely.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the doctors at the scan weren't sure what the lump was either. However, they found a cyst on Danielle's ovary.
Oh no.
Ooh.
Oh dear.
Ovarian cysts are common. Da-dee-da-dee-dum. The doctors wanted to keep an eye on her health because of the lump on her hip. She was eventually diagnosed with endometriosis and desmoid tumour. I've never heard of that.
No.
And a desmoid tumour.
Which was the one on her hip.
Right.
Yeah.
But the journey to discovery was long and arduous because doctors will do anything to get you out of their office.
Was missed.
Not all the time.
It was missed.
Matthew has a question.
I'm trying to connect the sinus problems with
Well, that's it. She was trying to connect it all as well.
They said that she didn't exhibit the regular signs of endometriosis.
Yeah, so you've got a headache. Oh, well, it's probably your sinuses. We'll go to work on those.
Because it's a lot of hormonal things happening.
No, actually, I've got a tumour.
Yeah.
So thank you.
I think it was more the endometriosis.
Another GP gets it wrong.
Hey, hello, Shayla.
Hi, Shayla.
What did you go with? What did they send you home with?
All right, so 2 years ago, I went in for a partial hysterectomy after some issues.
Sure.
Yeah.
Got sent home from the hospital. Everything was fine. Went for a follow-up with my GP. He banged on about birth control and sent me home with a prescription for the Mirena implant to avoid unwanted pregnancies.
Okay.
What? After a partial hysterectomy?
Yeah.
What an idiot.
I changed GPs after that.
Yeah. That's good. That's good idea. That's the right decision.
Smart move.
Thank you, Shayla. Steve.
A strange doctor.
Oh, awful. What an awful experience.
Unless he didn't know her history, or was it the same doctor?
But
Jeez, that's blowing your mind out. Sorry to put you on the spot.
I didn't mean
to make you emotional. It's just birth control. I'll talk to you about it after the show. And I'll show you a couple of things that you shouldn't do.
Why did the doctor send you home? Steve.
Hello, Steve.
He's calling from a truck, Marty.
Hey, Steve. Oh, Steve, how are you?
First time, long time, boys.
Good on you, Steve. Loz is here too. She won't clap if you don't mention her.
Just the boys here.
A while ago, I crashed a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Was knocked out for 14 minutes.
Oh.
Taken to hospital. Said I had concussion and go home, and I had a full fracture of the C3, a broken neck.
Oh my God. Bloody doctors.
Yeah.
They're not always heroes.
No.
Well, they make mistakes. They're human.
No. Don't be human when I'm a human.
The Marty Shear Gold Show. Triple M.
I'll even learn some
heat. How's this? This is a bit of fun. Under the title Pakistani Swifty.
Yeah.
I think you can still say Pakistani.
Yeah, well, that's how you describe them.
It's not how we used to say.
No.
When they were out here touring.
No.
We didn't say, gee, the Pakistanis are playing good cricket.
Mm.
Come on.
I Someone.
You can say Swiftie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Swifties. God, yeah. Swifties. A Taylor Swift fan has set a Guinness World Record for...
IDing.
Identifying. Oh, I was going to read that as IDing.
It's a doorbell?
Yeah, IDing. You should have a gap there. IDing.
Yeah.
Identifying.
Yeah, but doesn't it need an apostrophe or something?
Or like right. A hyphen?
Mm. Okay. I mean, that's just live feedback. Take it or leave it.
Thank you.
Set a world record for IDing the most Taylor Swift songs in a minute.
Wow.
I reckon most 13-year-old girls would be good at this.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I reckon. Have you heard him do it?
No. We've it's got lightning. A bit of audio of him. 20-year-old Bilal Ilyas Jandia. Jandia wore an eye mask in the video, so he couldn't be accused of sneaking a peek.
Right, okay.
Two verified witnesses looked at a screen of randomly chosen lyrics. One of them read the beginning of the songs while a timer counted down.
Let's have a listen.
You are talking shit.
You are karma.
All I knew this
morning. Everything has changed.
New hit was like
ready for it.
I remember DS
changed. Save it in sound.
You are on the phone.
You love me.
I promise that you will never.
Me.
He said, let's
by the streets.
You are somebody that.
You need to calm down.
We were both young.
No story.
I remember when we
were. We are never getting back to
it. It feels like a
perfect night.
Look,
I have no idea if he's correct or
not. No, neither do I.
And it's only because of the audio quality. Could not understand a word of
no.
it.
No.
You couldn't hear, like, Wildest Dreams?
I did hear that.
We're never ever getting back together?
That's the only thing I heard, that
I heard
one.
Cardigan.
Cardigan.
Yeah, and then Three Butter Chickens arrive.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
I think Taylor Swift's got one more to go in Sydney.
I think tonight, yeah.
God, she works hard.
Yeah, she does.
Is your dad a hero is the question we're asking.
My dad once caught my vomit in his hands to not let it go on the bed. Is that heroic?
That's heroic. That's
totally heroic.
Literally went like this and it was all Big M. And, he took it to the bathroom.
Yeah,
that's heroic.
Taylor Swift's dad, Scott Swift, was filmed in a wholesome encounter with his daughter's fans at a Coors Stadium for the opening night during Swift's closing Midnight's era set. As Midnight Rain began playing, Scott... Swiftie's dad could be seen at the back of the venue handing out sandwiches and fruit to audience members.
Oh, fruit.
Handing them out.
Bought a little platter.
I'm assuming it's left over from like either, catering backstage or some sort of box he was in. He's gone, you know what, I'm sick of people throwing all these sandwiches out.
Wasteful.
There's a ton of kids down there that'd be starving.
Yep.
Dubbed Papa Swift by Swifties.
Papa.
What's Papa?
Papa. Papa, I think, means dad.
God.
You've got your own line wrong.
Papa, I think
means dad.
It's daddy, Troy.
Daddy.
Come on. You know it's daddy.
Yeah, I do. Dubbed Papa Swift by Swifties, Scott was taking around food as he held a lamp over the platter so you could get a look at it.
Oh, right.
I'll have a tuna.
Yeah, I'm a 6-hour-old tuna. How old's the ham in this one? It comes after Scott made headlines for his acts of kindness in Melbourne last week.
Good.
The day before Swift's opening show at the MCG, a host of extra tickets were released, most of which were restricted view.
Yeah.
As thrilled fans got their hands on last-minute tickets to their seats ahead of the show, Scott casually went around and gave many of them VIP passes.
Oh, what a hero.
Jesus, that is good.
That is really nice.
He is a hero.
What do you got on Insta, Will?
We had David who says, my dad, Norm, school bus driver, bus caught fire, got 40 kids off the bus before it lit up. It happened in Healesville.
Wow.
Jeez, Norm, well done.
Norm the hero. And Claire says, my dear dad saved me when I caught on fire, ended up with third-degree burns, and he got burnt all over his hands. He also performed CPR and brought me back to life as a younger person.
Oh, wow.
And he still mows my lawn, even though he has severe Parkinson's.
Oh.
Well, she needs to pull a finger out and help him out. God, what a needy, awful woman she is.
CPR? Very needy.
Way too needy. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
How are we?
Wonderful, mate. Is your dad a hero?
So, look, Marty, my daughter's with me in the car, but she's a little bit too shy to talk.
Oh, you're going to talk on behalf of your own child.
Okay.
Yes. So, basically, the story is that about 6 years ago, my brother's wife had a major stroke.
Yeah.
But she was meant to go to jury duty. My brother tried calling her but couldn't get through.
Mm.
And he said, can you go around and just check and make sure she's okay? So, we're banging on doors and windows and eventually she answered the phone. Their speech was really, really slurred. In the meantime, I'd called the police and ambulance just to make in case.
Yeah.
And so we just turned up. We got her just inside that little window where she was able to be saved.
You saved her, mate.
Wow.
What's your daughter's name, Scott?
It's Talia.
Talia, how you going?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Yeah, oh, good, mate. Tired. You didn't want to talk?
No.
Yeah, but you're talking now, so I got you, buddy.
I got her.
The Marty Shear Gold Show. Triple M.
And Force of Nature, The Dry 2, is in cinemas February 8th, and it stars Eric Banner, Marty.
And Eric is with us this morning.
Yeah, welcome.
Marty, so good to see you, mate.
So lovely to see you.
We were just doing a bit of reminiscing.
We were.
There, weren't we?
We started around the same time doing stand-up, and when people say to me, do you know Eric Banner? I go, here's my Eric Banner story. You picked me up to do a gig down in Frankston once in your ute at the time.
Yeah.
We did a little bit of circle work at one roundabout, which I thought you were very well behaved. We get down there, we do the gig, the promoter comes up to me and goes, mate, can't pay you. And I was like, oh, okay. You drive me home, and then out of your own wallet, you gave me $100.
Wow. I'm so glad your memory's better than mine.
Mate, I've never forgotten it, because that $100 would have meant an awful lot to me at the time.
Did you give it back?
No. And I was going to give it back to you today, but I left my wallet in the car. Oh, you couldn't believe it, could you?
So that must be like 92, 93.
That's got to be worth $1,000 now.
Inflation.
With inflation. We both came up through the stand-up scene.
Did.
You were
we
very funny. You were naturally funny, funny bones. We had a great group of friends like Dave O'Neill, Glennie Robbins.
Dave Hughes started soon after.
Yeah.
Jim Owen was already a big star.
Yeah. Bobby Franklin.
Bobby Franklin.
The star in Garter days. Yeah. Then, of course, you became an A-lister and left us all behind. somewhere along the line, The Castle was the first one. What a film. I mean, it was a 2-week shoot.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was crazy. It was, like, I think, maybe 3 weeks or something like that. But it was just, I never forget doing the cast read-through for that. It was just hilarious. Like, people were just falling over laughing when we were reading through that.
Well, you're Wayne Hope, Steve Curry. There's some properly funny people in there. Yourself, Sophie Lee.
Yeah,
she was funny. Blake
Tracy,
was naturally
she
funny.
Held the punching bag for me.
Yeah. And you were the martial artist / accountant.
Yes, con. Yeah.
And then, of course, we roll out of that, and then I guess Chopper arrives for you, which was a scene study, just extraordinaire. The sort of character that you built around the man himself.
Yeah.
Did you spend a bit of time with him?
Yeah, a little bit of time. Yeah, it was pretty intense. I don't get to do that on every film for obvious reasons, but I don't know if I'd do it again either. It was
full on?
Yeah, very, very full on. Very, very full on. It was a few days, I think, but that was more than enough.
And is he just a million miles a minute just banging on about all the stuff he's done? Was he one of those blokes?
Yeah, he was, but he just had this ability to kind of like suck all the energy out of the room in a really interesting way, which is really helpful to me. Like when you're trying to portray someone, it's like, how do I capture that? How do I put that on screen? Because you can watch tapes of people over and over again, but it's never the same as being in the same room as them.
Because it was an amazing study of a man.
In the same way that, like, I can listen to you every day, Marty, but to be in the room.
It's magical.
It's very different.
It's extraordinary.
Very
I thought
different.
He'd have titties, but I never thought they'd be that big. Why are his nipples always hard? He's one of those guys. He's a hard nipple guy. You can remember that for when you play me. So Chopper happens, and then we become, you know, Eric Banner fans. We'd already seen you in Full Frontal, Fast Forward. I'm not sure which one.
Full Frontal.
Full Frontal.
Yeah.
Ripping off characters, hilarious impersonations, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Tom Cruise, Ray Martin. Yeah. Ray Martin was a
Your younger there. Audience is sitting there thinking, who are they talking to?
We don't have a younger audience.
Hey, don't worry about
We've
that.
We've left all them for Fief. She can clean up the young ones. And then Black Hawk Down rocks up.
Yeah.
And that was probably the one it's big US film.
Yeah.
Did well at the box office.
Yeah, it was a huge cast. It was just a monster cast. It's one of my favourite films. Like if you go back now and look at, go through the cast list,
how many people were sort of starting their careers in that film and then went on to have really big careers in like really different ways. But it just blows you away when you go back through that.
It was a brilliant film too.
Yeah.
A lot of action in it, real action, like running around with guns and stuff blowing up. Yeah. It must have been intimidating. Were you nervous?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every day you could have really hurt yourself. The safety was, you know, not at a premium. It was like,
we're getting through it.
You know, watch out. There's an RPG on a string coming from over there. But, you know, we won't tell you about that. And there's another one down there when you run around the corner. But that was absolutely, every day you would your heart was just pumping. You know, and yet you couldn't really understand what was happening half the time.
Mm.
You know, they just kind of yell, bark instructions. You didn't know where the cameras were.
So you're sort of reacting. You're not even acting.
That's right. Yeah, and things would explode. And you're like, was that meant to happen? Like, it was pretty close, you know. An actor would fire his gun way too close to your ear and you'd have to grab him.
That's actors for you, mate. They're arseholes. Yeah. let's come back and talk about Force of Nature, The Dry 2, which I watched yesterday, and it's a belter, mate.
Oh, thank
you. Another belter of yours.
The Marty Sheargold Show is on Triple M. This is The Marty Sheargold Show.
I'm a private person, you know that.
You really know that.
Yeah. It's not often I bring personal stories to the table.
No.
But I have to tell you, I had one of the greatest cramps of my life on Friday night.
Oh, that is so painful.
We're asking the question, where did the cramp get you?
Yeah.
What were you doing when it got you? Mm-hmm. How bad was it? Cramp, as you get older, I don't know why, it's unbearable.
Yeah.
I find that
1-333-353
more in the mornings. Like if it's a Sunday or Saturday morning and I'm laying in bed and I stretch, and as I stretch, I flex my foot.
Bang, you're done.
Well, that's it.
Mm.
Yeah.
See you later.
A cramp on Friday night that woke me up. I couldn't get my legs straight. So I couldn't get any sort of movement or flex. I couldn't get a single bit of reprieve, and it gripped me, and it was like someone was trying to tear my calf open with their bare hands.
Did you get out of bed?
My foot went into full spasm.
Hey.
My toes were locked up. You could have put toast between every toe. You know those toast holders?
Yeah,
That's what my toes were like. They were like a toast holder.
Like a rake.
I was screaming. My internal narrative was, cut it off, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Burn it off, cauterize it. I have never felt pain like it.
Yeah.
I was laying in bed. I wasn't shooting hoops with the boys.
The boys.
My body's detected a low salt level and gone, let's spasm this guy.
Ramp up.
Let's spasm him.
Wow.
See if he'll get up and have a water.
What's it like now?
It's still sore.
Oh.
That was Friday night. I've been using lots of Therogum.
Do you want it back?
I left too much skin on it. You know I did.
No, it's so fine.
You do need to exfoliate your legs.
Yeah, you need an exfoliation glove.
Maybe you were playing in a grand final or I don't know. Yeah. Where did the cramp get you? When did it strike?
We've already had so many on Insta. Cramps are hitting people. Nick says, after a big night in New York, I passed out sitting down on the floor next to my hostel bed.
Mm.
When I woke up, both feet were pointing down and both calf muscles had fully locked into a cramp. I had to ring up the staff desk for someone to come to the room and pull my feet back.
Where did the cramp get you is what we're asking. Michael, what happened?
Hey guys, first time, long time.
Good on you, Michael!
Ooh, a lead
one.
Where'd you get the cramp, Michael?
Back in high school, I was getting up on stage to play in my band.
Yeah.
Gone down to sit on the drums. As soon as we started playing, cramp in the back of the calf.
Oh no, and that's it.
And I had to play through it.
Oh my God, the pain of it. And all you can think, then you get the sweats and all you can think about is the cramp and your life changes.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm one the whole time. I'm like, don't stuff up.
Yeah. Mine kept niggling too. It didn't just go away after the big one.
Oh, right.
There was some aftershocks.
Ripple.
A couple of real aftershocks where I was like, no, please, no, take them.
I've had enough.
Please, no. What did I do to deserve this?
Thank you, Michael.
I've said some things, sure, over the years that tiny people have written about. Where'd you get the cramp, Mark?
Both calves.
Ooh.
It ended up being a blood clot.
Okay. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, the pain was there for 3-4 days.
Yeah.
And I thought it was from original injury where a stick went through my leg.
Right.
But it ended up being a blood clot.
Right. Oh. So the calf was an early indicator.
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder if I've got blood clots.
What does say? So, leg cramps can be a sign of a DVT.
Is that right?
Straight on the rat bait and then get rid of the clot.
What's the rat bait?
The Wolfram, the...
Oh, the blood
tablets.
Thinners. Yeah, oh, right.
That's the one. Yeah.
All right.
If it hangs around, maybe go to a doctor. This is a good PSA for everyone.
Yeah, get it investigated, Marty.
I might break into the chemist and get some Wolfram.
No.
I refuse to pay for it.
What do you got on Insta there, William?
We've had so many. Andrew says, was doing a track day down at Phillip Island on the motorbike. Mid-corner through Siberia, bang, cramp in my left leg. Had to sit the bike up, go off the road, run through the gravel trap and was lucky to keep it upright and not come off.
All from a cramp.
Kane says, was playing in a cricket grand final over the weekend. As I was batting, I went for a single and both hamstrings cramped. Oh. Went for another single and ended up pulling my right hamstring while the left one was still cramping. Had to retire hurt, but we still got the win.
I've never had a hamstring cramp.
Neither have I.
I've only had calf.
Yeah. And yeah. Taylor says, I was fresh 18 and out clubbing, got a cramp in the front of my neck. I couldn't speak or anything, so I was flailing my arms trying to tell my friend I couldn't breathe. She thought I was dying.
Oh my God.
I thought you were going to say she thought I was dancing.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
It's the Dance Academy.
Putting in, Marty?
We are putting in a flat earther.
Oh, right. Okay.
And not for the first time either. I reckon we might have put Shaq in at one point.
We've definitely discussed Shaq.
Has he come good or is he still ardently sure that the earth is flat?
He pretends to say that he was joking.
I reckon. Well, we just found out Millie Bobby Brown. is a flat earther, a reformed flat earther.
She's reformed. Freddie Flintoff.
Is a legit flat earther.
Really?
Why would water stay still?
That's the quote. Shut up. Freddie. No,
what?
Oh, God, Freddie Flintoff. What a dunce.
He believes it's flat or at least bulbous.
Bulbous. Bulbous is a wonderful word, isn't it, Matt? Matthew's here. Good morning, Matthew.
Hi, Matthew.
In a T-shirt, too.
Is this new? This T-shirt?
No, I just tend not to wear patterns in here.
Oh.
Yeah, for good reason, because you look like Ernie from Ernie and Bert.
I was like, it's Bert or Ernie?
It's ridiculous. I don't know why you'd wear that. But anyway, have a good day.
Thank you.
Don't think that other people are thinking what I thought.
Yeah.
You don't look like a Muppet.
It's Ernie. It's Ernie. Literally exactly
like
Ernie.
You look like Ernie.
You do look like Ernie.
Well done.
Hey, bro. Matthew's here. Matthew's here.
T-shirt, Matthew.
Why have we got two beds?
Come on, back to the dance.
Matthew, I've told you.
Why have we got two beds? We love each other.
We're housemates, Ernie.
Let's have a bath.
Back to the dance. Back to the flat earther.
Here we go. Back to the flat earther. A flat earther conducted an experiment to prove the earth is flat. He accidentally proved the earth is round.
Oh no.
That's not what he was hoping for.
No.
Yeah. Bob Nodell was in the middle of filming a Netflix doco that was aptly named Behind the Curve.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Prominent flat earthers such as Mark Sargent and Patricia Steer appeared in the film. I don't know them. As well as astrophysicists and other experts seeking to disprove the bounty of research led by experts at NASA.
Right.
Bob explained the ins and outs of the DIY experiment using a laser gyroscope. There he is down there, Bob.
Yeah.
It involved using a camera to film through two holes with a person standing on the other side shining a torch back at the camera.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
So I'm imagining you'd see some curvature.
Yeah.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Bob claimed that if the light can be seen with the camera, the holes in the fence and the torch, all at the same distance above the ground, then he could confidently draw a conclusion that the earth is flat.
Okay. Yeah.
However, no light was able to be seen.
I've got to grab you. Have a listen to this.
You're going
to
hold the light there? Enrique, how high is your light?
17 feet.
I mean, it's his... We don't see you, Enrique. Lift up your light way above your head. Interesting.
Oh, that's what it is.
Interesting.
What it is.
Interesting.
Oh.
My
going.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
BuzzFeed has asked the question, do you remember a terrible thing your teacher said to you or a classmate that still haunts you to this day?
Yeah.
And then the responses started rolling in. On my second day of school ever, the boy sitting in front of me stuck his tongue out at the teacher and she smacked him hard across his face.
Oh, wow.
I'm in my late 60s now, but I remember like it was yesterday.
Of course, yeah. Of course you would.
Just crack. Those days are over.
That's awful. Yeah.
Not slapping kids in the face anymore.
No, not at all.
Not unless you get them on their own and then belt into them.
Nope.
No, no, no.
Nope, 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 nope.
What?
Nah.
It doesn't happen anymore.
Does it some barbecues? Not my barbecues, it doesn't. When I was a 9-year-old girl in fourth grade, I had to read something out loud at my desk. After I finished, my male teacher said, "Your voice is so sexy," to the whole class.
Oh.
I put my head on the desk and started crying. 9-year-old.
That's... No, I'm not going to say.
You got a real sexy voice, kid.
That's like when I was in year 8.
Jesus.
What? What happened?
And my... I was a gymnast, obviously. Mm-hmm. And during... sexual education, they were talking about, you know, hymen.
No.
And she pointed me out and was like, well, Lauren's will have already broken because she's a gymnast.
Oh, my God. Said that in class in front of everyone.
In class.
Oh, that's
well,
awful.
In fairness, she was probably right.
But not because of gymnastics.
Slow down, mate.
We are talking horrible teachers.
Oh, God.
Just stop talking, bud. I'll do all that stuff. You've told your story. Sarah, do you remember something that the teachers did?
Yeah, so I had a horrible principal.
Yeah.
I went to one of the Catholic schools and I was chased down the driveway by the principal, who was also a father at this particular school, because I wasn't wearing my blazer on a 30-plus degree day.
Yes.
Sarah, that used to happen to us. They'd chase us for blazers and not wearing our hats, which you didn't have to wear them in school.
But chase you and then what happens when they get to you?
Put it on, or they give you a little detention slip.
Oh. Yeah, detention. It was 30-something degrees on the way home from school.
Chasing sounds a bit ridiculous.
It's short up.
Don't you just make a note of the kid and pull him in the next day?
Yeah, he could be bothered doing the chasing.
Sarah to the front office, please. Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
You didn't have your blazer on yesterday, mate. I saw you leaving the school without it.
Yeah, that seems like enough.
34 degrees. I mean, that's much easier.
Who's running?
Yeah, I know it's hot, Sarah, but you know, school is... Yeah.
I mean, if you... this is just ridiculous.
Did still compliment her sexy voice or something.
Did you have a horrible teacher?
Put your blazer on. You look sexy when you talk.
Hello, Eva.
I was in high school and I was running down the corridor and my teacher yelled out, "Stop running, chopstick legs," and I'm of Asian origin and I would be mortified if my child got yelled at like that.
Stop running chopstick legs.
Yes.
That is horrendous.
I mean, I've said it to Troy, but only as a joke.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
Food combos. We've done this before. It's always great fun. I think we've actually got a bit of a montage of times we've asked people about their kooky food combinations in the past.
We do.
I used to love honey, sultanas and coconut.
Vegemite on fruit loaf.
Vegemite, cucumber and jalapenos.
Beetroot and date sandwich.
Splash of soy sauce over ice cream.
Throw a bit of Nutella on Weet-Bix with a couple of strawberries and milk.
And beetroot juice.
Yeah.
And the knockoff Aldi Irish cream liquor.
Oh, goodness.
Irish cream liquor. I never want to hear those words again.
An Irish cream liquor.
It was an Irish cream liquor.
I've met a few.
Oh, yeah?
What was he into?
Licking Irish cream.
The cream liquor.
It's quite the food.
It's quite the combo.
He was an Irish cream liquor. He loved licking cream. He's an Irish. What's your crazy food combo?
Yeah. Well, you introduced me to one recently, Loz, that I'd never had before.
Vegemite and peanut butter
on toast.
I tell everyone.
Which I love. I'd never had that until a month ago.
Yes.
Have you had it since?
Yes. I had it this morning before I came to work.
Good man.
Matt loves it too.
Every time.
Yeah, Edith on Instagram says she still does it.
It's the best.
It's great. It's caught
on. Our friend Jesse from the Producers Podcast.
Peroxide Jesse.
He said to add...
peanut butter, Vegemite and...
Oh, I'll find it.
Okay.
Forget what he said.
You got the handbrake there, buddy?
Cheese! It was cheese. He said grill it. Peanut butter, Vegemite and cheese in a grilled sandwich.
Oh, that does sound good.
Yeah.
That's a great food combo.
It'd be like satay, cheesy satay.
People online have called a new food combo magical, mind-blowingly good and downright crave-worthy.
Wow.
Wow. Other people just don't get it at all, saying it looks disgusting and like a waste of perfectly good ice cream.
Okay.
So there's our first clue.
All right.
Drizzling good olive oil on vanilla ice cream and topping it off with a sprinkle of flaky sea salt takes the dessert to what's being described as incredible heights.
Sweet and salty.
I get the salt combo on the ice cream. I could do that, but the olive oil?
I like olive oil on bread.
Yes, but I need a bit of balsamic. Yeah. I can't just do the olive oil texture.
I don't mind it. With a bit of dukkah.
Yeah.
Dukkah.
What about the olive leaves in the plate there as well?
This is just a chef's idea of creating something in a plate, you know, creating a sense of theatre.
This is a Ristos.
It's a Ristos. So, hey, lady, have you got a vanilla ice cream? Have you got an olive oil? Because I got a stick of olive leaves. We're going to have a dessert. You better have salt in your pantry or else we're... Hey, laddie, what's in your trolley? You better have passata at home or whip. Because all I got fish fingers, and I got dukkha.
I'm
worried.
Do people remember Surprise Chef?
I hope they do.
Otherwise,
this is ridiculous.
No, people remember Surprise Chef.
I
got it at Fish Fingers, and I got some capers. I got some pasta. I'm making fish finger pasta. I'm going to bake it with a bechamel. You got milk? You better have milk, lady, or where?
Strange food combos.
Chloe.
Yeah?
What's yours?
Doritos dipped in condensed milk.
Yum.
Nice.
Are we talking cheesy Doritos or the plain ones?
The cheesed ones.
Yeah.
Cheese Doritos dipped in condensed milk.
I reckon I could.
Oh, yeah, I could for sure. Condensed milk,
condensed
anytime.
Condensed milk with anything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Just sucking it out of the can.
I used to do that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It was a cow.
No. You used to have to use those old-fashioned triangular can openers
Up. That's right.
You put one on each side.
And just can pour it out. Out.
I loved it.
Hello, Mark.
G'day, guys.
Hi, Mark.
Mark, what's your food combo, mate?
It's a meat pie, like a 4-20 pie.
Of course.
Cooked straz. Beetroot and tomato sauce.
Cooked straz, so just flip it in a fry pan, whack it on top of the pie with
Just do whatever you want.
Have it on the plate.
Have it on the plate, mate.
Oh, I was layering.
Yeah, so
I was thinking meat pie, beetroot, straz, tomato sauce.
It's not a pizza pie.
Mark. You're in. Stay out.
The Marty Sheargold Show is on Triple M. This is the Marty Sheargold Show.
Barnaby Joyce has made a tit of himself, which is not unusual. And look, let's be honest, we've all made tits of ourselves on the booze over the years.
Of course.
Absolutely.
I have certainly made a tit of myself on numerous occasions, some more recently than others. But Barnaby, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese says the Nationals MP Barnaby Joyce needs to explain himself after being filmed lying on a footpath in Canberra's entertainment precinct. Which bit's that? I grew up there, and I knew there was an entertainment precinct.
It's the bit where Barnaby's fallen over.
It's a very entertainment precinct. I must go back and have a look at that. Footage published on Friday on the Daily Mail showed Barnaby lying on the ground on the phone after he appeared to have fallen off a planter box on Lonsdale Street in Braddon.
Braddon.
Right,
Braddon,
that's the entertainment precinct.
Yeah.
Yes, Braddon.
Braddon's cool.
Braddon is lovely. He said the incident was very embarrassing and happened when he was walking back to his accommodation after Parliament had arisen late at 10 p.m. I think we've got a grab of Barnaby, Troy.
Yeah, explaining what happened on Sunrise, I think it was.
That's this
morning.
Yeah.
I made a big mistake. There's no excuse for it. There's a reason. And, this a very eventful walk home, wasn't it? I'm on a prescription drug and they say certain things may happen to you if you drink, and they were absolutely 100% right. They did.
I believe him in that respect. If that's the case, then Sure.
I'm always reluctant to believe politicians, regardless of what they're discussing. It's a game for animals played viciously by pigs.
Right.
So whether or not he's telling the truth, I don't know. And I don't care. What I do love is that he's laying on the back screaming into his phone, absolutely polled. And so I often think to myself, would Albo ever do that?
No.
Absolutely not. Would Malcolm Turnbull, who I didn't even like, nah. Tony Abbott, one of the great cocks.
Would
you ever see him laying on his back screaming into his phone?
No.
As Barnaby has been.
John Howard?
Acting Prime Minister before.
Paul Keating?
Yes, no.
Hawkey?
Even ScoMo.
Oh, Hawkey.
Julia?
Hawkey? In his heyday.
Hawkey, mate.
But not while he was Prime Minister. He was sober as a judge. We've got Rory on the line to tell us about the time he had a tanked tumble. What happened, buddy?
So we go away camping with all our family every year.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a bit of a drink up, all of that.
Yeah.
And my stepdad's first time up, he thought he could try and keep up with my uncles.
Right.
Silly man.
Yeah.
And about halfway through the night, he's going out for a smoke.
Yeah.
And it's not until everyone's come home that my mum's gone, where's my stepdad?
Yeah, right.
So I spent the rest of the night looking for him.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And found him in a bush, smoking mouth, passed out, and only found him because I could hear him snoring.
Smoking mouth. Oh. Found him in a bush, passed out.
Just a thing of ash just dropping out.
I could only find him because he was snoring.
Trying
to keep up with the big boys, that's what's going to happen.
Thank you, Rory. Did you have a tanked tumble? What do you got on Insta there, Will?
We had Simon who also says, got so drunk one night that when I got home, I was unable to get the key in the front door, so I decided to sleep in the shed.
Yeah.
I clearly fell into the roses out the front because I woke up with one of the branches still stuck in my ear.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
What city were you in when something big happened?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Would you accept I was in America when Michael Jackson passed away? No?
No. No, okay, I wouldn't accept that. No. Mm. You'd have to be at Neverland.
I would never want to be there.
Why were you there?
Too old for that, mate. Too old for Neverland. He wasn't interested in anyone in their 40s.
Our new friend Tegan, who works on the show, she was in Paris when Notre Dame burnt down.
Oh, my God.
Like, smelt the smoke and was like, what's that happening?
2019. Little pyromaniac on the team now.
Did you light it?
Yeah.
No.
Tegan lit it.
It doesn't have to be tragic either.
That was like a carpenter in the roof, wasn't it? Something silly. Some bloke.
Mm.
Using a power tool in a...
Really?
In the roof.
Do you know, apparently...
Pretty sure.
It's going to take about 40 years to completely rebuild.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's the French for you, though. They're lazy pigs. And everyone agrees.
They're all saying it. People are talking.
They're all saying it. That's the French, mate. If they're not running away, they're doing nothing.
What city were you in when something big went down?
A British couple who accidentally stayed in Melbourne on the same weekend that Taylor Swift was in town say the decision was a huge mistake. Well, you know what you can do, don't you?
It was an accident. We didn't mean to be here.
Well, it was a great time to be here.
I know.
The city was alive.
No one was alive.
They didn't plan well enough.
Taking to TikTok, Lucy Russell had travelled from the Great Ocean Road into the chaos of the city with her partner, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
They claimed they never wanted to stay in Melbourne this particular weekend, but the train to Canberra is in the morning. As a result, pair were forced to book a dirty hostel room above a pub.
We had such a nightmare finding accommodation for tonight because everything was so expensive. And we even Googled what's happening in Melbourne like a few weeks ago and nothing came up, like not Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
She sounds like a mopey turd, doesn't she?
She actually does.
She does.
She's just honestly in... 15 seconds, she just sucked the life out of me.
Oh, there's more.
Oh.
So we've ended up staying in a bit of a shitty hostel. Oh. It's so dirty. Oh. And we're in like a 12-bed dorm. It's just not our vibe. We are not budget backpackers anymore.
Budget. Honestly, I could not spend a minute in a room with her. Debbie Downer. Buck up, kiddo.
Oh.
The F and the buck were too close there.
Yeah. Buck up. Hello, Jack.
Hi, gang.
And what city were you in when something big went down, Jack?
Okay, well, this was pretty major. 1998 in Nairobi in Kenya. Ooh. When the US embassy got bombed.
Jeez, oh, wow. That is full on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty scary.
Yeah, I bet it was. And what were you doing there at the time?
Well, I was on my way back from a safari that I'd been in Tanzania for like a week.
Yeah. Lovely. Yeah.
Beautiful, amazing.
Yeah. Mm, the big five.
Just on the outskirts of Nairobi, stopped off at a pub to have something to eat, and all the locals started panicking. Everyone's hovering around seeing an end. No one knew what was going on.
Right.
And then we literally got the message then that it had been bombed. So driving back into Nairobi, the sky was dark, it was red, there was red. And got back to our hotel, and thankfully DFAT had my name written up on a whiteboard. And
who's DFAT? Was he the rapper?
No, DJ.
That's so frightening.
Terrifying.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
Loza was pretty big on this one.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Close encounters of the bird kind.
Yeah.
Like I said close encounters of the bird kind. Australian bird song's beautiful, isn't it?
Oh my God, when there's no other sound like when you hear that warning sound, like that.
You get five or six kookaburras in a tree and it is
chaos. They're having a great time.
You get the Maggie's cockatoos. Oh my God.
Yes. They're loud.
Screeching.
Forget about it.
Guys, take a break. We had a Canadian person stay with us years ago.
Really?
And she came out into the lounge room. She was like, "The birds. Do they ever shut up?"
Yeah.
She would have known.
An accent.
Yeah, she had a Canadian accent. "Hey, bro."
The birds.
The birds.
Canadian's a very hard accent.
Ooh, you got to get yourself in there. Kind of
shut up,
Yeah, no. Like I said, Canadian's quite hard. Right?
Why there's no a boot sound in kookaburra?
Oh my God. Take a break, mate.
Can I tell you a story about kookaburras?
As when long
I
worked as it's at, really quick
when
and
I worked
interesting.
At Camp America, we would sing Kookaburra Sits in the Old Gum Tree. I was with someone who thought that a kookaburra was a mythical creature like a bunyip.
I was like,
you know, that's a bird. She's like, "What? A kookaburra is a bird?
Kookaburra? It's like an emu?"
Yeah.
Have you ever had a close encounter of the bird kind where, you know, the birds are in?
Yeah.
In this case, a pair of pigeons has caused chaos inside a UK hospital room.
Yeah.
Nurse Nisha screams in terror over the stray birds. You hate pigeons.
Pigeons? Oh, and we've created pigeons. We made them that way, and now we're afraid of them. They're gross. Yeah. Have you seen the video of the pelican swallowing a pigeon whole?
And that's pelicans for you. It's a bit more than a pelican. I mean, if you'll eat a pigeon, you're a disgrace to the bird world.
Let alone a pigeonhole.
Mate, why, as a bird, would you eat another bird?
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
That's bloody pelicans for you. This Nisha's kept a safe distance while her colleague, Charlotte, used a blanket to shoo the unwelcome patients out through a window.
You're going to have to come in.
Okay.
You're going to come in.
No, I can't, because you won't let them out.
Come in. It's on the door.
Well, then we can't do anything. We're not pest control.
I'm too pest control.
Oh, there's more.
Get out. Shut the light off.
It's just like there's a guy playing bass in the corner. Hello, Hayley.
First time, long time.
Good on you, Hayley.
So I was at the Sydney Opera House having lunch years ago, and a seagull swooped down, stole my lunch, and flapped its wings in my face. And I am now terrified of birds, and it's been 16 years.
No, as you should be, Hayley. That's completely fair enough.
The sound of a bird flapping near was very loud, and the wind it produces.
Actually, on Port Douglas,
it's horrible.
We had a bird. I can't remember what sort it was. I don't know if it was a seagull. Could have been. And my daughter was about to put a chip in her mouth, the distance between the chip and her mouth, the bird came through between there, grabbed the chip, and flew out of the pub.
It's like that Red Bull flying show.
It really was. I'd set up a couple of cones. The bird came back. I timed it.
It's pretty talented, really.
Thank you, Hayley.
It's amazing.
Alex, how you going, mate?
Good, good. First time, long time.
Good on you, Alex.
Yeah, it never gets old.
Nah, good, of course good. It doesn't, mate. Because you only hear it once.
No, you don't.
Hey, so I'm in bed one morning, right, about 6 a.m., yep. Hear this smash coming from the kitchen. So I get up, grab a shoe, thinking I need a weapon.
Oh, yeah.
Walk down the corridor. Couple of parakeets coming at me, so I chuck the shoe at them.
Yeah.
Take out another vase. They've already smashed one vase. No.
Smashed one of your own vases with a shoe.
Mate, realise the stupidity of my ways, but open up the doors on the balcony and away they go.
Yeah.
Good, yeah.
Off into the wilderness.
Yeah.
I've had a few run into the glass door too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that yeah, happens yeah. quite a bit.
And then you go out to check on them and they're like,
no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, Damien.
Hi, Damien.
G'day, team. How you going?
Wonderful, mate. Yeah,
went to go to the toilet late last week, and heard some flapping in the toilet. I thought, bloody hell, what's going on? And there was a noisy miner in the bloody toilet. I opened the door, and I thought, what the hell? And I said, yelled out to my wife, what's going on here? Did that get in? Because all the doors were closed and that.
Yeah.
And I reckon because I leave the bloody lid up, I must have been going for a drink.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, you should have thought you were going to do a gag. I thought you were going to say it was one of your kids, a noisy miner.
No, such luck.
No, I was really I was hoping you were going to do that.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
Here's a fun list. Universal things that men like.
Mm.
What are some of the universal things that men like?
All men.
Let's just talk to the men.
Yeah.
You know, we never do that.
We're men in tights. We roam around the forest looking for heights.
Universal things men like. 133353 or get in touch through Insta.
How's this? Writer and illustrator Aubrey Hirsch
yeah.
jokingly asked her followers on Twitter, what's a universal thing that most men like?
Okay, coughing or mid-sentence?
Because she was... Hang on. I'm right. Because she was writing a comic... And she wrote, I just realised I don't actually know any men in real life. Well, that's terribly sad for Aubrey.
That is sad.
Men are strange.
Men are wonderful to know.
Maybe she means just like properly, like you can know people and you can know them.
But, you know, having a good man in your life is one of the rare treats in life.
Mm. I mean, okay.
You know, a good man.
Rare treat? Go and find one.
I know heaps of good men.
So, no, you think you do. You're so funny. You think everyone's a good person in your life and they're not. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
What do you think, mate? A universal thing that men like.
Finding a nice big stick.
That is so true.
Now you're talking.
Men love finding a big stick.
I wish I had one now.
I think it goes back to the sort of caveman days.
Yeah.
Where you found a big stick, you're like, ooh.
What can I do with this?
Yeah.
Take them back, cave.
That's a caveman thing.
Yeah. Take them back, cave. Ooh.
You can do a lot with this.
Show the boys. See if they have cheese.
Go on, Steve.
You got stick, William?
May I suggest one?
Yeah. Well, you're not a man, but yeah.
Oh, well, forget it.
Okay.
No, go on.
Go on.
Doing a big dad sneeze.
Nah, probably not.
No, it's good. It's good. Letting out a ripping sneeze.
I love this one. Dining tables made with resin. That is something men love. There's something about resin where men collectively just go, good table.
Yeah.
Resin. Like those chopping boards? You know those chopping board, those resin chopping boards?
Mm. Yeah, you know resin, how it settles into the knots and the grooves of the wood. Just wonderful stuff.
Very bad for the environment.
Posing for photos while holding fish is another thing.
Oh, God.
Of course.
Throwing big rocks off cliffs into water.
Oh, yes.
That's a thing that men love.
I love doing that.
Universal things men love.
No. It's the things that men love. Hello, Nathan.
Howdy. First time, long time.
Good on you, Nathan.
Always wanted to do that. You have an esky full of beers and you pull into the servo, buy yourself a bag of ice, and you pick it up and smash it on the ground.
Smash it on the ice. Once you learn that trick, that if you drop a bag of ice on concrete a few times, it does all the work for you. Yeah. That's almost a rite of passage for young men.
Oh, wonderful.
What else have we got on the list? When my dad had a chainsaw, he'd take branches off the dead tree, and then neighbourhood men just gathered around with various saws to look at him working on the tree. Anything, William?
David said a good fire.
Oh, men love fire.
That is caveman.
When was the last time you lit a fire?
Me?
Yeah.
On a girls' trip last year, and I was the fire girl. I kept it going.
What do you girls do around a fire? Just talk about their periods and stuff?
Yep. Have pillow fights, talk about our periods, make out, all those things.
Cool. Sounds fun. Thought so.
The Marty Shear Gold Show on Triple M.